Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Job chapter 23, verse 1, and the title of our message is Stepping Through Stress. Stepping Through Stress. How many have some stress that you have in your life right now? How many would like to know how you make it through stress? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. On April 10th, 1912, the Titanic made its maiden voyage across the Atlantic, leaving Southampton, England, and it was supposed to be unsinkable. But on April 14th, near midnight, it struck an iceberg. Within 3 hours, the ship's final resting place was on the ocean floor. Of the 2,240 passengers and crew, only 705 survived. The newspaper, the Nelson Evening Mail, in the Wednesday, April 24th, 1912 edition, reported the testimony of Mr. Boxall, the ship's fourth officer. Boxall said the iceberg was dark gray in color and 30 feet high. After the collision, he fired Morris lights to attract the attention of a ship which was 5 miles away. The ship did not answer, even though the Titanic signaled, "Come at once, we are sinking." Boxhall did not know the name of the ship, but had the ship responded, it's quite possible that no life would have been lost on that dreadful day. I want you to imagine with me, how would you feel? You're on a sinking ship in the middle of an ocean, and just a few miles away there's another ship, and you're sending out distress calls, distress signals, but they ignore it completely. It goes unanswered, unheralded. They are just oblivious to it. How does that make you feel? Maybe angry, maybe frustrated, maybe hopeless. I mean, it's so close. And I wonder sometimes if that's the feeling some of us have for God when we feel that we're in a sinking situation. We know God is nearby. We know He's there, but we pray, we talk to Him, we call out to Him, and yet God doesn't seem to be around. God doesn't seem to care. He's not answering our SOS call. I think Job felt like that, and we can see this in chapter 23 of verse 1. Let's pick it up there. Job is going through one of the most difficult times in his life. He's lost everything, and it's not because of his own sin. It's not because of his own, you know, financial mismanagement, any bad decisions he's made. It's just happened because God is allowing it to happen. And this is what Job says. He says, "Even today my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find God, that I might come to His seat. I would present my case before Him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which He would answer me and understand what He would say to me. Would He contend with me in His great power? No, but He would take note of me. There the upright could reason with Him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Look, I go forward, but He was not there. And backward, I cannot perceive Him. When He works in the left hand, I can't behold Him. When He turns to the right, I cannot see Him." Can you hear the uncertainty there in Job? Can you hear the frustration, the discouragement, the hopelessness? He says, "Man, everywhere I look, I don't see God moving. I know He's moving in places, but I can't connect with Him. It's futile. It's like, God, where are You? If I could just come before Your throne, if I could just share with You what's going on in my life." In other words, Job is saying, "I've been praying to God, and I don't feel I've connected with Him at all." How many of you have ever felt like that before? I know I have on several occasions. When you and I are going through stressful times, how do we handle the stress? I think, first of all, it helps us to be aware of three seasons of stress, three times in our life when we encounter stress. Take a look at your notes. The first season of stress is a season of suffering. A season of suffering. Job was going through a season of suffering. If you want to, this afternoon, go home and read Job chapter 1 in your Bible, and you'll see how in one day's time, in fact, in just in a matter of a few minutes, he realizes all what has happened. And he has lost absolutely everything. All of his children die in a catastrophe. A house falls on them. He finds out that all of his wealth, he was a very wealthy man, all of his wealth and all of his servants died. He had much livestock. All of the livestock dies. Back in Job's day, if you were a farmer or in livestock or in trade, that's how you made money. And he had a lot of livestock. All of his livestock was destroyed. He had a shipping business. It was UCS. You've heard of UPS? Well, he had UCS, United Camel Service. What can Brown do for you? In a matter of moments, wiped out completely. He lost all of his financial income, all of his business. His reputation was ruined. And God permitted the devil to come and afflict him physically, his head, from his head to the bottom of his feet. He was afflicted with sores that hurt, that itch, that were sore, that were so painful. His wife tells him to throw in the towel. She says, Job, just curse God and die. And in fact, she, in the back of her mind, is thinking that he has done something so wicked, so secret, that God is now raining down all this wrath and judgment and punishment upon them. And so she is blaming Job. Just curse God, die, get it over with, so I can go on with my life and you won't cause me any more pain. And then his friends turn against him. He has no support from anyone. And we come to this place now in chapter 23 that it seems to Job that even God has turned against him. You know, I look forward, he's not there. I look behind me, to the left, to the right. No, God is nowhere around. Job feels like God has abandoned him because of his suffering. Friends, there's times you and I go through suffering, and we feel that same way. Maybe it's physical suffering. Maybe there is a disease. Maybe there is an injury, something in your body that just is nagging and it won't let up. Sometimes that suffering is emotional. People hurt us. Someone dies. Someone leaves us. Someone betrays us. Whatever it is. And there's emotional suffering. There's physical suffering. Sometimes it's spiritual suffering. We're just being afflicted spiritually, attacked on every side. When we go through times of suffering, it causes stress in our lives. The second season of stress, if you're taking notes this morning, is a season of silence. A season of silence, and Job experiences that in verse 8 and 9. Look, I go forward, he's not there. Backward, I can't perceive him. When he works in the left hand, I can't behold him. When he turns to the right, I can't see him. Job has no idea what he's done wrong. God is just silent. He prays, and his prayers bounce back. I remember times in my life, there have been periods of silence. I've sought God. Sometimes it's been where I have examined my life and I'll say, God, where are you? I don't sense you in my life. I'm examining my life for any sin. And God doesn't show me anything. And yet I'm going to church regularly. I'm having my devotions, but I'm not getting anything out of them. When I read the Bible, I could be reading the funny pages. That's how much spiritual benefit it does for me. There have been times where you get together with Christian friends and you feel, it makes you feel good for a while, but when you leave, it's empty. You feel all alone. You say, God, where are you? I don't understand. When I was in college, there was a time I even began to doubt the existence of God because I could not sense him or feel him. And here's the thing, friends, you cannot live your Christian life by your feelings. If you live your Christian life by your feelings, you are going to be on a roller coaster of emotions. One day, I'm saved. Next day, I'm not saved because I don't feel God. Or God loves me. No, he doesn't. He loves me. He loves me not. It's like you've got the little flower. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. Oh, yeah, he loves me. All right. But then you get another flower and it's he loves me not. When God is silent, realize that sometimes that silence makes you draw closer. What happens if someone whispers quietly to you? What you naturally do is you lean into them so you can hear better. Sometimes when you're trying to say, God, what are you saying? It causes you to lean in closer to God. Those dry times, trees get rooted when they go through dry times. If they have constant rain, constant ideal conditions, they will never develop a root system for stability. But when they have to go through times of drought, it causes them to sink their roots down deeper, searching for water. And sometimes those times of silence, God is just trying to get us to go deeper, to have a heart that says, God, I'm going to pursue you even if I hear nothing. Because the deeper you go, the more stability you will have in your life. Job experienced silence. There is a third season in our lives that causes stress, and that is a season of success. Did you realize that when you are successful, it causes stress in your life? The Apostle Paul is a great example of this. He was a missionary, a church planter, went all throughout Asia Minor planting churches, and it takes off. They're having revival. New churches are springing up. And he talks to the Corinthians in his second letter to them. He writes to them, he says, man, yeah, great things are happening, but do you realize I've been shipwrecked, and I've been stoned, and I've been beaten with rods, and I've been imprisoned? Now, I don't know about you, but that's not my definition of success, is it? His success caused stress and pain in his life. And in verse 28, he says, besides all these other things, being threatened by robbers and perils in the country and perils in the city, this is what he says, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul's carrying this weight. God has brought revival. Great things are happening. But in the process of that, he now has this burden and this weight. He's concerned about the welfare of the people, that false teachers don't come in. While he's gone, are they being discipled? Are they not going in the wrong direction? Are they being persecuted? And so this success has caused stress in his life. And maybe you're experiencing success in your career or success in your ministry, and you're finding a time of stress in your life. Friends, God is your source in the middle of the stress. And I believe Job gives us some answers. When we're going through a stressful time, whether it's caused by silence, suffering, or success, Job gives us some keys of how to handle stress in our lives. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one is to step through stress as a journey. Step through stress as a journey. The first thing we need to realize is that going through stress is a process. It is not a microwave oven solution. Microwaves are great. In 30 seconds, you can have a burrito. You know, in a minute and a half, you can have a cup of tea or instant coffee. Microwaves are nice. They warm things up and boom, it's instant. And we have become a microwave society. We're, you know, it used to be when you needed to make a phone call, you had to maybe stop into a gas station and pay, or you had to stop at a business and try to borrow someone's phone. Now we whip out our cell phone, boom, and we're there. You know, we have instant almost everything, and sometimes we transfer that over to God and we want God to answer us now. Okay, not now, but within the next 5 minutes, God. It'd be really nice if you'd be on my timetable. And we need to realize that going through stress is a journey. It's a process. You step through it. Take a look at verse 11. Job says, my foot has held to his steps. You see, steps signifies a continual moving forward. It's a journey as he is working through this time of suffering, this time of silence, this time of difficulty. He keeps taking steps. He is following after God. He's walking with God instead of getting ticked off at God and abandoning God. And we do not have to go through things alone. If you are a Christian, God has given you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And he is always with you. You are never alone. You're never alone. He is always with you. And you can walk in the Spirit. God doesn't want you to give up on him. He says, how many of you have seen the movie Finding Nemo? And Nemo has to swim to Australia to find his dad. Or other way around. That's right. His dad does. I'm sorry. And what do they say? What's Dory say? Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. And sometimes I think God is up in heaven saying, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. And that's hard to do when you can't hear him say that. It's hard to do that when you're suffering and you're hurting and you can't overcome. But Job said, my steps has held fast, or my foot has held fast to his steps. And it is a process. It may take you days, weeks, months, or years. Joseph was a slave in Egypt for years, and then a prisoner for a few years before he was raised up into the palace and became second in command, and he began to see the destiny that God had revealed to him as a young boy, that you're going to be a leader over nations and over many. It took him years, but Joseph kept swimming. He kept stepping. He kept following God. And that's what we need to do, is to keep going after God. There is a second key, besides realizing it's a process that we have to keep moving through. The second key to dealing with stress is that to realize God knows the way we take. God knows the way that you and I are taking. Look at verse 10. Job says, but he knows the way I take. When he's tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Friends, you may not know where God is at in your mess, but God knows where you are at in your mess. You might feel lost and abandoned. You might feel God that he has just stuck you out in the boondocks and left you alone, but he hasn't. He knows the way you take. He knows the suffering. He knows the silence. He knows the discouragement. He knows the hopelessness. And Job says, God knows the way I take. It's a declaration. The verse before, he says, I can't see him. I can't feel him. I can't find him. But even though I don't know where he is, he knows where I am at. Friends, you are never abandoned by God. Never. We're told in Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Are you brokenhearted this morning? If you are, God says in his word, I'm close to you. You feel you've been crushed? God says that I will save you. He saves us. You can depend on his word. He knows the way you take. He knows the thoughts you've been thinking. He knows those arguments that you keep on bringing up in your mind. God, where are you? Why is this happening to me? He knows what you're feeling. He knows everything. We're told in Psalm 94, verse 14, 18 and 19, it says, the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. When I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. I love this verse, verse 19. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. How many of you would say, I have a lot of cares in my heart today? They are overwhelming me. God says, that is when my consolations, my comforts will cheer your soul. It will lift you up. It will help you. Stand on the promises of God that he knows the way that you take. I love the song. It says, no power in hell or scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Nothing separates you from the love of God. Nothing. And when you're going through stress, when you're going through a difficult time, you need to hold fast that God knows the way I take. He's involved in my life even if I don't see it. That will help you step through stress as you go on your journey with the Lord. The third thing that you and I need to implement in our lives if we're going to step through stress is we need to follow God's steps. We need to follow God's steps. Verses 11 and 12, Job says, my foot is held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than necessary food. Friends, I know people, when they go through hard times, sometimes their pursuit of God diminishes. Because I can't see him or I can't feel him, you know what? It doesn't do any good to go to church today. Nothing's going to change. Why should I pray or pick up my Bible? God hasn't spoken to me yet. And instead of going after God's ways, and there's even some people, they just throw in the towel. I was reading a story about, I don't know how many of you know Ted Turner, but Ted Turner, when he was a young man, his sister had leukemia. His family prayed and prayed and prayed, and his sister died. And when his sister died, he turned his back on God, because if God truly existed, why didn't he heal my sister? When you and I go through difficult times, they can either strengthen our faith or they can wreck our faith. And we have a decision about what we're going to do. Am I going to step through it right, or am I going to abandon God? And Job said, my foot has held fast to the steps of God. I have obeyed him. I've kept his way. I haven't turned aside. In fact, I treasure his word. I am pursuing after God more now than I was before. The psalmist said in Psalm 63, verse 8, this is in the King James Version, my soul followeth hard after thee. I just want to throw this out to you. How hard are you following after God today? See, sometimes it's not just the suffering that causes us to stop following hard after God. Sometimes it's the success. Sometimes when we're successful and we've got stress, well, I don't have time for God. And we're going our own way. And the thing is, no matter what your stress is, whether it's caused by positive events or negative events in your life, we need to follow hard after God. We need to be on him like a dog on a T-bone steak. My dog, whenever there is food around, my son Paul, he was downstairs in the basement, and he had some food on the end table. He walked to his room, came back in 5 seconds. He says, where's my food? Where's my pizza? The dog had went through 2 pieces of pizza in like 10 seconds. She's a little poodle. I mean, my dog is on food. You leave food on the table, you walk out, she'll be up on the table eating the food. That's a poodle. Friends, are you after God the way my dog is after food? God wants us to be hungry for him no matter what. That we're taking every opportunity we can to get that food, that manna from heaven that he has for us. Follow after God's steps. Obey him. Don't start walking a path of disobedience. Don't start turning your back on God and blaming him. Job followed the steps of God. The fourth thing that Job did is Job trusted God's plan. He trusted God's plan. Look at verse 13 and 14. He says, God is unique. Who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me. Job did not know the end of the story. He did not know what was appointed for him. He did not know if there was more suffering and more silence, and he was never going to get out of it. But Job said, I'm going to keep after him, and when he will perform what he has appointed for me. Job kept going. And we see in Job 42:10 that God blessed him with twice as much as what he had lost. We see in verse 12 of chapter 42, the latter days of Job were better than those in the beginning. God blessed him abundantly. God had a destiny for Job. God has a destiny for all of us. And here's the thing, that destiny, you may not encounter the positive in this life. Job was blessed. When you take a look in Hebrews chapter 11, it's called the hall of faith. It's kind of like the Hall of Fame for people that had faith. And it talks about how some people had people raised from the dead. You know, some people saw healing. Some saw miracles. But it says others were sawn in two. Some were stoned. Some were killed. And you don't know what this life holds for you. But friends, after this life, there is a home in heaven for us. No matter how bad it gets here, never give up on God because there is something better. And you say, but I have lost everything. Friends, you can have everything in the world, and if you gain it all and lose your soul, you have absolutely nothing. That's what Jesus said. What are you living for today? Are you living for a God who blesses you? Is that why you love Him? Or are you loving a God who did give up everything, who lost everything, his reputation? He was stripped naked, he was whipped, he was beaten, he went to the cross, he had 9-inch nails driven into his hands and his feet, and then the whole sin, the sin of the entire world, he bore it on in his body. And he was separated from the Father. And he experienced physical, emotional, and spiritual torment for you and I. Jesus was forsaken so that you and I are not forsaken. He did that because He loves you. And friends, if we have a heart that says, God, that love, being forgiven of my sins and given a home in heaven, if that's all I get in this life, if you take away every other blessing, friends, that is worth more than anything else in the world. Job said, in verse 10, when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Job's attitude was, no matter what, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to trust him. God has good plans for you. We're told in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, God has a future and a hope for you. Some of you need to hear that today. I'm going to close with this. A.W. Tozer said this, it is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. I think of the great men of the Bible. David was blessed greatly, but man, he was on the run from Saul for years. He was first hurt greatly. Joseph, we alluded to him. He was hurt greatly before he was blessed deeply. Moses was hurt greatly before he was blessed deeply. Job was blessed greatly, then he was hurt greatly, and he was blessed even more. The key thing with all of these men, with great men and women of the Bible, is even though they've been hurt greatly, they did not stop following God's steps and trusting in His plan. Because if they would have, they never would have seen the blessing of God on their life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.